by the Bicinian. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and the next voice you hear is my co-host, the Zodiac GM.
Hello, hello.
Zodiac GM. We are about a quarter of the way to this NBA season. You know, most teams have played about 25 games here or there. You know, some teams have played more, some teams have played less. You know, so I was thinking it'd be a good episode to answer four questions so far about this season, but about what's currently trending. But before we get into those topics, it's a very special day on the Hoop Strategy Podcast, listeners, because we are talking about Geminis. We're talking about Geminis. And now, Zodiac GM, before we hit record, yeah, you told me you like Geminis. You told me you're a big fan of Geminis. And obviously, I mean, because of me, I have sold you on Geminis. But tell us, what is it they like
exactly
about you? Tell us what you like about Geminis. Before you tell us about Geminis, tell us why you like Geminis.
I like Geminis because they're just so interesting. They're very witty. They're very smart, clever. The tricks of all trade. I don't know. There's just a Gemini, you can start a conversation with them and they'll just keep on going and going and going and going. And it's just a fun conversation. I mean, that's just the way they are. That's just their nature. And I don't know. I like that. And I think Geminis are one of the coolest signs personally. That's just the way I feel. But yeah, that's the way I feel about Geminis.
And now tell us about Gemini. Tell us, you know, what makes them tick, what makes them, you know, just break it down.
Yeah, okay. Well, Gemini is an air sign. So think of it as they're very idealistic. So one thing about Gemini is it's a mutable sign. So they tend to go with the flow with a lot of different things in a, you know, like I mentioned earlier, within conversations, within ideas. They're very witty. They're very smart. Geminis are the signs that can talk their way out of jail. Like, that's just the way they are. They're very convincing, and they just have that natural knack of just finding the right words at the right time. They're very clever. It's just the way they are. A couple of Gemini moons. You look at Draymond Green. Draymond Green has that Gemini moon in him, and you can just tell by the way he talks or the way he can get in trouble as well. You know, they tend to speak without even thinking twice. You know, it's just whatever is in their mind, they'll just say it. And also another thing is sometimes they get mistaken as to be natural flirts in a sense, because whatever is on their mind, they'll just say it without, you know, again, without thinking. They just, it's just the way it is for them. You know, they have no filter. But that's a good thing. A lot of people like that. You know, a lot of people don't like that shadiness or fakeness where they kind of have to, you know, kind of fake saying something to a different person or and so forth. So yeah, Geminis, that's what you get out of a Gemini. It's a multiple personalities. Think about it. It's a twin, right? They got the good and bad. Each and every day, you don't know what you're going to get out of Gemini. You might get a sad Gemini, a happy Gemini, an angry Gemini, but that's what makes it interesting. You know, it's something different, you know? Yeah.
It's funny. This is where I'm going to come in as a Gemini, right? It's very true where you can be all happy or full sad. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we can show you all sides of it, you know, and be fully committed in that role at that time, and then just snap out of it too, like if it was nothing. But I think the most way I can represent it is speaking before thinking. Sometimes the words are already escaping my mouth, and I'm like, wait, what am I saying? But it's just, you know, the synapses in my brain are firing so fast at that moment that it works that way. It's often why they're very good at improvisation, because
yes,
you know, it's right at that moment is when they're at their sharpest. Exactly. They're not good planners. Geminis are not good planners.
True.
You know, but here's a
true
quote.
They live. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead. They live what?
Oh no, they live in the moment. That's just the way they are. They live what's going on today. Let's have some fun today. I don't care about tomorrow, next week. Let's just, whatever's going on today and present time in the moment, that's what they feed off of. You know, like what you just mentioned, they're not really planners like the Tauruses or the Capricorns, where they think about the, you know, the long term. The Geminis is in the now. That's just their energy. That's their nature.
And it's funny, and I think it's because of that energy that people are drawn to them. Because it's a good time.
Yes.
Right? Because in that moment, you're a good time. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the other people leave, but the Gemini still hasn't planned. You know what I'm saying? The other people have planned.
Yeah.
In that moment that we're there with the Gemini. Something else about Gemini, they know a little bit about everything. You know, you were saying True. How you can talk to one. They can just continue the conversation. Here's a good quote that when first I'm going to say something that people say about Gemini is that they're a jack of all trades, right? You said it yourself, jack of all trades. If you continue the quote, it can still fit where it says jack of all trades, master of none, right? Because they know a little bit Ooh, about everything, but one. It's not as deep. But now here's where the full quote continues, and I think it still fits with the Gemini. It says, jack of all trades, master of none, though oftentimes better than master of one.
Ooh.
So Good one, I like think that oftentimes better than master of one. That's where the conversation list comes in because they know a little bit of everything. They can like pick from that knowledge and continue conversations with anybody. So yeah, we should have just made this whole episode about Geminis. That's how awesome they are.
and players, by the way. Hey, don't forget about players. The players, okay? Well, okay, so some current players. We got Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, RJ Barrett, Benedict Mathurin, Jordan Poole, Jordan Clarkson, Harrison Barnes, Shaden Sharp. And we are one of, now let's go old school a little bit. Allen Iverson's a Gemini, okay? Remember that one famous comment? You know, he's talking about practice.
He's talking about practice.
You know, talking about practice. Allen Iverson, he's a Gemini, okay? Another old school player and one of your favorite players and a lot of, you know, people, basketball players compare you as Dirk Nowitzki is a Gemini. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, those are some of the old school and current players that are Geminis.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest, there's not as many Gemini stars, right? But I think there's so many great, great Gemini role players. I think there are so many great Gemini role players because of their mutual aspect, right? They fit. Yep. Whatever role it needs in that lineup, and they're going to do that well. Kind of goes back to that jack of all trades, master of none. They can do a little bit of everything, you know. So I think Geminis make great role players, great championship winning teammates, you know. Enough about Geminis. I could talk all day about Geminis, but you know, we had some games on this Monday night, and I want to start with the first game with the Houston Rockets against the Cleveland Cavaliers, a game that went into overtime where the Cavaliers surpassed the Houston Rockets 135-130. And this was a very important game for both teams, you know, but I think that I think this was more important for the Caps in the sense that, you know, they just got some bad news about a couple of players. But before we go to the Caps, I actually want to start with the Houston Rockets, our hometown club. And that's where we start with our first question of the episode. My question to you is, before you break it down, you know, in the astrological way that you do, the question is, will the Rockets make the playoffs?
Will the Rockets? I think so. And I would say, if I was to pick a definite answer, I would say yes. And the main reason why I think is because of Ime Udoka. He is a top-of-the-line coach. He has a very strong combination that helps and benefits our young Rockets team along with some veterans. Again, Ime Udoka is a Leo sun with the Gemini moon. The Gemini moon, again, as we mentioned earlier, they are they're very good at communicating, right? And that's very important for a young Rockets team like what we have right now. So I would say definitely yes. I would see them more as a bottom portion of the playoff seeding. But at best case scenario, maybe in that middle portion. You know, there's some other top of the line teams that I see, you know, fitting in that top four or five slot. But I see the Rockets sort of in that bottom seed, maybe six at best, all the way down to you know, to play in.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the Rockets will make the playoffs, and I think yes, Ime Udoka has a big deal to do with it. You know, and you know, my favorite thing, and you know, and we played basketball for so long, and you know me, one thing I love to do that not a lot of people love, I love to play defense. I love to play defense, and so that's what I like to see. You know, from team. And Houston Rockets are the second-ranked defense in the NBA. I would not have believed that after watching this, most of the same team the last couple of seasons. You know, that just goes to show you that you can have it just goes to show you that you can make an NBA player a good defensive player, right? It does take effort, but it can happen. I mean, look at that. There's the second best defensive team. Offense is where they're still struggling, you know, at times. You have Sengun, but sometimes when they double up on them, you know, even the passes and the shots, you know, Tari Eason missed a very important corner three. You know, he had a good game. But overall, I think the Rockets will make the playoffs. But here's how I see it, right? I think there's 11 teams in the Western Conference that could potentially make the playoffs. So I'm already counting out the San Antonio Spurs at 4-21, the Portland Trail Blazers at 6-19, the Memphis Grizzlies at 6-18, and the Utah Jazz at 9-17. You know what? I take that back. Maybe Memphis may make a run when Ja gets back. But I think it's essentially going to be between these teams. I think it's going to be between the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Warriors. One of those three teams, you know, maybe Memphis, but I think Memphis is going to struggle. But I think it's going to be the Pelicans, the Warriors, and the Rockets are going to have to fight for 8, 9, and 10. I think, could I see the Rockets making it to 7? Yeah, but I think they're going to be a playing team. You know, and I think that is perfectly fine, right? For a team that hasn't even sniffed the playoffs 3-4 years, just to get in that action. And I think Ime Udoka team would do well in the play-in because it's kind of a tournament kind of style. And I think he can teach them, he can prepare them for that one game single elimination. But look, you know, it's also who's to say the Golden State Warriors don't go on the second half run, or you know, like I say, Ja Morant comes back and the Grizzlies go on a tear. But I think right now the numbers are in the Rockets' favor. You know, we don't know what's gonna happen with Draymond Green and with Golden State. How long is he gonna be out? You know, and even when he was there, it's not like they were clicking, even though you know, we talked about it preseason that they're a team that astrologically fit. So, but yeah, I agree. I think the Rockets will make the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And even the Phoenix Suns, that's a team to watch out because I've just heard news that Bradley Beal might be out for a couple more weeks, so they're kind of struggling health-wise too.
I think the Suns are going to be a team that is going to have to be in the play-in, and it's weird to say that right after Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, but the top six teams, Timberwolves, Thunder, Mavericks, Nuggets, Kings, Clippers, they are pretty strong. They are rolling right now. Those six teams are rolling. And speaking about rolling, you know, we did say we're going to roll on to the next, to the team that the Rockets lost with, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers pulled off a big, important win. You know, they're 14-12 in the Eastern Conference standings. And they just got hit with some bad news, actually, you know, as I mentioned earlier. Darius Garland is sidelined for multiple weeks with a fractured jaw. And Evan Mobley is out for up to 2 months after undergoing arthroscopic knee surgery. So my question was actually going to be, do you think Donovan Mitchell gets traded and what are his best spots? But now I'm thinking about it, you know, based on the game we just saw, with these two players out and the lineup they use, does this lineup fit Donovan Mitchell best?
As far as for fit, Donovan Mitchell, it's still the same. You know, it's sort of like that average synergy, same with or without Garland. But the reason why I think it affects Donovan Mitchell a lot, especially when Garland plays, because they both sort of play that combo guard position, you know. And whenever you have that running mate that's a little bit offsetting the energy wise, because Garland's an Aquarius and Mitchell is a Virgo, you have an earth and an air element that's opposite elements, right? So it doesn't really mesh well, and you can kind of get sense of that or around just hearing, you know, or even just watching on Twitter or Twitter X of what people are saying about them too, that the chemistry is not fully there, and it does make sense, you know, as there's been rumors about Mitchell not being happy or he's not going to want to stay in Cleveland and so forth. So I do see him eventually possibly getting traded, but it all depends on how they are during after the All-Star break. It just depends if they're just going to go all in or all out. If they're going to go all in, you know, they can keep Mitchell and see how it goes. But you know, if they already know he's not going to want to stay, I mean, might as well get as much as you can for him, you know. He's only 27. I mean, he's a superstar.
He's only 27. He's a star, superstar / you know, right on that cusp, right? I mean, look, yeah. 37 points, 6 assists. You know, so that those are numbers that can help any team. And like we said, he's a free agent after this season. He hasn't signed a contract. He doesn't want to worry about it this season. So I do think he's going to get traded. So now my question to you is, you know, what's his best fit? And I know you kind of made a little bit of a noise on Twitter where, you know, you put out his trade proposal, as you oftentimes do, you know, Sodec GM, follow him at the Sodec GM, where you said that the Rockets should trade, that the Cavaliers should trade Donovan Mitchell, and I'm not sure what the players, but in January, it was Cavaliers, Gary Alper, and Sengun back, right? Which I think, first of all, that's horrible. You should not trade Alper and Sengun. but you know, what teams do you think fit Donovan Mitchell? And you know, more like realistic, right? Because I don't think, well, yeah.
I mean, well, I still do see the Rockets, and I'll explain, but Knicks is the other team, okay? The Knicks, teaming Donovan Mitchell with Brunson over there in New York, it will change the dynamics of the whole chemistry for the New York Knicks, right? So he fits very well with New York, mainly because of Brunson being the point guard, and Donovan Mitchell can be the combo two guard, and he's a better fit than he is than with Darius Garland, right? Now, the reason why I did mention Rockets and Donovan Mitchell, because he does fit perfectly well with this Houston Rockets team. Okay, aside from looking all, because I know there's a lot of emotional attachment, you know, with the fan base, of course, and that's perfectly fine, that's normal. But the reason why I see that, and of course, you if you get a good player, you have to give up some good players, you know, in exchange, right? But the reason why I see several things fitting in with Donovan Mitchell with the Rockets, because one, he does fit with Van Vliet. I mean, no, if that was to say, oh, does Fred Van Vliet and Jalen Green have good chemistry? Mostly everyone would say no, because you don't really see it, right? But I can almost guarantee that with Mitchell being a Virgo, him being a mutable sign with a Pisces such as Van Vliet, they will instantly connect. But not only that, yes, Sengun will be out of the picture going to Cleveland, right? I mean, this is just hypotheticals, right?
Right.
But the person that I'm thinking that's going to actually really, really have a, you know, just benefit from all of this is Jabari Smith Jr., okay? Jabari Smith Jr. is sort of confined in his full potential is sort of restricted right now because of what the Rockets have, the pieces the Rockets have right now. And those, the energies that are conflicting with him is Sengun, who's an Aquarius opposite of Jabari Smith Jr., and Jalen Green. And you can get a sense of how Ime has to find alternative lineups to make it work by taking out Jalen Green and at times Sengun. And he puts a lineup that fits Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, Van Vliet, and even Jeff Green. That core unit you tend to see a lot at the closing game, there's a reason for that, because Ime sees it, wow, there's something about this core that clicks. Well, it's because they do click in a synergy, but not a lot of people see it that way, right? But I see it, and it's clear that the chemistry and the synergy is definitely there, and it's because Green doesn't really fit with the rest of the squad. This Rockets team is fairly dominant in earth and water elements, and that's what Donovan Mitchell is. He's a Virgo. If he was to fit, play with this Houston Rockets team, this Rockets team will excel to another level. And that's just the way I see it, and this is only from an astrological sense, right? But of course,
I think the issue is that, you know, I don't see it. It doesn't outweigh for me the talent that giving up in Sengun is. You know, I'd rather give up Jabari Smith, or, you know, because I mean, like I say, you know, Sengun has proven that he is that player. He's going to, if he continues his ascension as to what he has been doing each year, gotten better and better. And finally, he's showing it with more playing time. You know, I would rather move on from another player that hasn't shown it yet, perhaps a Green, perhaps a Jabari Smith. You know, they put it in spots, flashes, but they haven't been as consistent. Not like a Tari Eason or like an Alperen Sengun. So, like I said, I'm not opposed moving on from those players, right? But I think my issue is, just, you know, the Sengun, because I think he's a commodity, right? Where you don't have too many players of that caliber, right? I mean, we just have Jokic,
right.
You know. So just for that reason, I wouldn't move on. You know,
I mean, his post presence is elite. I mean, he's probably one of the best scorers down low in the NBA right now. Top three, maybe, you know?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Yeah, that's a very strong piece. That's a very strong piece. So easily. So yeah.
But yeah. So I think we can both agree. I think, well, you know, and I think we both said it. We both think Donovan Mitchell will be traded. I think he will be, just because that fact of they could lose him in the offseason for nothing. Right. And right now you can at least get him. Like, and like you said, 27, he's still a player in his prime. He maybe not even had his prime yet. You know, so
yeah,
it'd be interesting to go, you know, and his former team, the Utah Jazz, been in the news recently where they said that Josh Collins' situation hasn't really been working out and they're open to trading him, but not just him, also Lauri Markkanen, fellow Gemini, shooter, first-time All-Star last year. So my question to you is, where did you see these two players, Lauri Markkanen and Josh Collins, you know, and maybe start with Josh Collins. Why hasn't he fit in with the Jazz? Is it an astrological thing where the fit isn't good?
Well, the first thing that I saw that stood out, you know, when I first analyzed the Utah Jazz, is their point guard. Yes, they use Sexton, but he's opposite of the rest of the crew, right? And they, you know, they use Horton Tucker, yes, but the thing is, he's not really a point guard. What they really need is an actual point guard, like a true point guard, right? When they had Conley last year, they played very, very well, right? And then with John Collins, he does fit, and he's sort of like that byproduct of kind of like, okay, this team's not winning well. Let's see. Let's kind of pick and choose they're just basically pointing fingers at whoever. That's just the way I see it. Okay. And yeah, he is a piece that can get let go. Collins, I mean, he can help a lot of teams. He's a Libra.
What's his sign?
He's a Libra. John Collins is a Libra. So he fits teams, contending teams right now. It depends. Maybe a team like Milwaukee Bucks could use them. Indiana Pacers can use them. Even the Brooklyn Nets can use them. So with that
the Nets
talent,
and Brooklyn are interesting options.
Yes,
Nets and Pacers.
Yes, the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah,
yeah. And then, I think it'll be easier for Lauri Markkanen, just because, you know, like I said, former All Star 1 year. I know still he has to be more consistent, but, you know, they've seen what he can do with the time given, you know, and he's a stretch four, even a stretch five, if you even wanted to. And I think because he's a Gemini, because he's mutual, he'll be easier to fit with most teams. What's a team that you think he could like swipe right in and just take off?
Well, a team like OKC, I think he would fit very well with that team. OKC,
that is,
yeah, I know.
You're not the first person that's told me that. I've read some stuff about OKC. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and in OKC, I mean, if they use Shed as a five and then Lauri at the four, I mean, wow, like that's a strong, you know, five. That's a strong front court right there. It can shoot. I mean, and then SGA running the point or the two guard. So he, you know, with his skill set, he could fit pretty much any team, right? Him being a Gemini, tricks of all trade, he can easily fit. Even with he was at Cleveland, he fit well. You know, he's one of those players that can just put him anywhere and he'll just naturally fit, you know. So yeah,
he's what's value. Funny about OKC is that they have so many first round picks, so they could pull it off if they wanted to. They could say, hey, Danny Ainge, three first round picks, let's go, you know, or you know, two first and a two, or you know. But I know it's how much they can try and get for him, right?
Yes.
But Danny Ainge, look, he's made big moves in the past. I mean, he got rid of Donovan Mitchell. He traded, you know, he got rid of Rudy Gobert. And I say get rid, but I mean, he traded, you know. But yeah, so it's, I think I say both of them get traded. You know, I think the Utah Jazz are going to move on from these players, especially Josh Collins is not working out. But I think, you know, I want to say Lauri Markkanen and OKC would just be perfect. I mean, all that spacing that his shooting would give them, you know, and he's still going to get his shots. He's still going to get the, you know, time on the ball. But yeah, him at the five, I mean, him at the four and Chet at the five, because Chet, he's playing exactly how I thought he was going to play. You know, his offense, like I said, has been a little better, but his defense, but man, yeah, I think that would be a great, great team. You know, a team that's currently rolling right now is the Los Angeles Clippers. So yeah, again, when they first made that trade for James Harden, you know, they started out rough, right? 0-5, I think it was. You know, they finally beat the Houston Rockets in a tough, tough game. But ever since Russell Westbrook asked to come off the bench and they slotted James Harden at the point guard position, this has been like a team transformed. And I know you've told us about the signs, but now can you go through the starting lineup and tell us how they are, how they match?
Yeah, so whenever they had Westbrook, that whole core as a team, they're very, very compatible. Clippers are the only team that are rated as an A-plus talent and synergy A-plus, right? And I see them as the top of the top team right now as far as for overall talent and overall chemistry, right? And it's showing. So whenever they did have that losing streak, I did kind of question a little bit. I was like, wow, they're actually losing. But of course, you know, Harden was barely coming back. You know, he didn't even have much of a preseason to begin with. And all he needed was that little warm up to get into game shape, and he started rolling. But yes, you're 100% right. Once Westbrook did move to the second unit, that opened up the full responsibility to James Harden. See, the issue was both, you know, Westbrook and Harden are ball dominant. Yes. And whenever you do have that, even though they are compatible, they sort of share the same position. You know, and that's that is a conflict there. It's a positional conflict, okay? Because if Harden was a natural two guard, which he is, and he has played before, but he really is a point guard, you know, and so is Westbrook. So having Westbrook take away one of those down, and I'll bring this up. You brought up a good point because you were the one that mentioned that you do feel that Westbrook needs to go to the bench. And look, it did happen, and they are winning a lot of games right now. So you called that one. And Westbrook handling the second unit benefits them as well, because whenever Harden needs to take a breather, well, guess who's coming in? You got Westbrook coming in. And the other team's like, man, wow. Like, can we get a break? Or whenever either Leonard or Paul George takes a break, guess who's coming in? Westbrook, you know? So it's like, he's like the main guy off the bench. Of course, you know, they got man starting with the starting five right now. You know, he's so a Libra.
That's actually what I want to tell you. I pulled up their most used lineup right now over the past game. So James Harden, okay. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Zubac, and Mon. What are those signs? And are they a 3-2-4-1? Break it down for us.
It's a 4-1. 4-1. Oh, so 4-1. Zubac is a Pisces. Yes, Zubac is a Pisces, which is compatible to Leonard, Paul George, and James Harden. So Paul George is a Taurus, Kawhi Leonard is a Cancer, and James Harden is a Virgo. Now, man, he is a Libra, which is an air sign. So he's the only one that's opposite, but it fits very well because it's still a four-one lineup.
Right? And also,
on top of
he's
that,
mutual.
Yeah. Well, he's the cardinal sign, but top of that, his role, because I always try to look at the usage role. I mean, it's not like man is like the go-to right. player or anything like that. He fits well as a limited role player for the way they use him. And that's perfectly fine because they don't need another person. They already have Paul George. They have all the players that they need. So that works out very, very well. And it's showing on their record. I mean, they've won, what, 8 games in a row now, you know? So
now,
a lot of players.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the lineup that they've used with Russell Westbrook. And, you know, so it's Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Robert Covington, and Zubac. How does that lineup work astrologically?
Well, okay, the reason why it also works is it also is a 4-1 because Robert Covington, he is the odd man out odd element out of the starting unit, right? Because he is a Sagittarius, a fire sign. And then, but you have Westbrook, who works very, very well. He's a Russell Westbrook is a, I'm going blind here. So Russell Westbrook is a Scorpio who works very, very well with Kawhi Leonard. And he's a Cancer. Also works very well with Paul George, who's a Taurus. So that trio right there is a strong synergy, along with Zubac. Zubac is a Pisces. Now Zubac is a strong piece. I mean, a lot of people don't mention him, but he's a very very strong piece. And him being a Pisces also helps out a lot. Think of a Pisces that they're sort of like the helpers, you know. Think of it the way Draymond Green fits, the way his team, the way he runs with the Golden State Warriors. He's like the glue guy. That's what Zubac is, but he's sort of like. Not a lot of people really talk about him, but man, he's a very, very, very valuable piece to this team.
He is going to be that unsung player for them the rest of the way, you know. And I was listening to the Low Post podcast with Zach Lowe, and you know, they were talking about the Clippers and this run they're on, and they dropped this nugget where he said that before games, I think it was, and you know, and after practices, Harden, Zubac, they would just run like pick and rolls, just keep working timing on each other. You know, the passes, the you know, pockets, you know, where to pick, where to, you know, like just to kind of get that rhythm, you know, together. And I think you've seen it, right? And in the beginning, yes, they were still trying to like find each other. Cause yeah, a pick and roll, okay, every player knows how to do it, but every player runs it just a bit different. The timing of the pass, you know, the hesitation, like that kind of thing can only be done with repetition, you know? So, and look, it's showing up. And no, I think this is a very, very, very dangerous team. You know, they are easily going to be one of the top six. They're probably going to be 1, 2, 3, you know, one of those top three seeds. They're a scary team.
Very, very scary team. I think health is the biggest concern for them right now, because last couple of years, I mean, look at last year, you know, they weren't healthy, and then they, you know, they ended up having to play, you know, Eric Gordon, sort of like the go-to guy in a sense, you know. So health is a big concern, and hopefully they can keep it up and maintain it for, you know, for even throughout the playoff run. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes, but how it went is this was another episode of Hoopsology, our 9th episode. Zodiac, we will be coming back next week. We're going to discuss the Christmas Day games, right? We got four.
Oh, yeah.
We got five. How many Christmas games are there? Let's take a look. I know there's like, there's five, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Bucks and the Knicks at 11 a.m. Warriors Nuggets at 1:30. Celtics Lakers at 4, 76ers Heat at 7, and Mavericks and Suns at 9:30. So we are going to do an episode on the first four games, because Mavericks Suns is going to start really late. You know, maybe we'll talk during the game, and you know, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so next episode we'll discuss those four Christmas games, which is the holiday of the NBA, right? Isn't it funny how most sports leagues have their own day? You know, like Thanksgiving is what, football, right? Yeah, 4th of July, right, is baseball, right? Basketball is Christmas.
Yeah.
So, and Easter, March Madness, I don't know.
I know, start making up holidays and linking
start making
games.
Up holidays. All right, well, that was our 9th episode. So, yeah, any final words?
Hey, follow us on Hoopstrology on Twitter X and the Zodiac GM.
And follow me, Jesus_Acevedo Jr. And follow the Bayou Cityan at the Bayou Cityan. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to subscribe. See ya.